This podcast is produced by All In Media, hosted by Itamar Roy. Hey you guys, how are you doing? Nice to have you here. Great privilege and honor. Kobe and Benzion. And we will start by you, each one will introduce himself and what is your position in the company, how long do you work in Kornit, etc., and we'll go from there.
I started slightly more than 18 years ago, chemistry background. I started as a chemist, moved through various positions within the company. 8 years or so under R&D, and then I had some sort of a break into business development, product marketing, consumable business application, and then I came back into application development with chemistry. Today I hold the position of the CTO, obviously with the IP, chemistry regulation, innovation, bioautomation, special project, and...
Wow.
Yeah.
Responsible guy. Benzion.
Yeah. I'm Benzion. I'm 28 years career. Working in the industry, Israeli industry, most of my career in the semiconductor industry, but now moved to print in the last 2.5 years in Kornit. My studies were physics, materials engineering, masters, and in my career did mostly technology development, but also product development, R&D, system engineering, project management. I was CEO of one company. And now I'm leading the R&D of Kornit since 2.5 years ago. Started deep in the COVID.
We will reach the COVID maybe. But yeah. First I want to start with Kobe by asking, how was it changed? You started 18 years ago, more or less 10 people in the room. No, isn't it? And now you're more than 1,000.
I was the alien. Passenger number 8.
Yes? You're passenger number 8?
Yeah.
Please... take us through the journey of Kornit, not, you know, in a very broad, vast way, because we have 25 minutes here, more or less, but just give us the journey as you see it, because you were the one really to follow it through the years.
So it starts like a very, very small startup, obviously. Nobody understands really what it does, but it does everything. Different position, everything, everybody do everything, actually, from cleaning to developing research, development, operation, everything like that. The people that was on board were amazing, open-minded. Most of them...
And they stay with us, or you're the only one to stay?
No, from that...
From that crew, no, you're the only one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Open-minded, most of them didn't came with the industry experience, but not with the education specifically. The software engineers come from a different background. The application from a different background.
Everyone was in the periphery of something.
Yeah, yeah.
Multidisciplinary.
Yes. a lot of experience, a lot of passion, love to a common goal, which is a different goal, obviously, from what we have today. To succeed in doing something, I would say. We wanted to print on a white t-shirt. Immediately after, we understand it's lacking, it's too narrow, and we have to print on black t-shirts, and obviously not with solvent ink that corrupting the world rather than moving into water-based application. And we learned a lot from each other, from the industry. We invented things that we didn't have some background or theoretical background in order to read and actually execute, rather than part of it is a trial and error and part of it is really research. So it was amazing. A lot of the elements that been developed was by the founder of the company. He established the first machine. And afterwards, a lot of success, sometimes from either surprise or luck, the core competency of the company called Sweat on Wet is the capabilities of printing without curing or drying in between different layers. It was actually discovered by mistake because we were lazy enough not to come back to bring another shirt. We wanted to print on the side, and we poured by mistake a cleaning fluid on the shirt, and we saw that there is an enhancement of colors.
Efficient laziness.
Yeah.
Efficient laziness.
Amazing. Amazing. Most of the things have been invented by mistake. So
if you do sort of reverse engineering 15 years ago, 18 years ago, and you need, even though the company is much changed in the things you do, in the size of people, the way you are structured, everything is different, I assume.
Yeah,
but if you can mark two key points that were seeds that were planted at the time when you started, creativity, things that stayed until today.
Positive?
Yeah, positive. Positive.
I think freedom to explore.
Freedom to explore.
Yeah.
Your colleagues defined it like that in a way. They said self-expression.
I think it's more than that. It's believing that people that you are trusting probably will deliver value, even if it means to fund them and so on. Personally, you know, I started not from immediately after I've been developing chemistries and so on, I established the ink plant. Offer, which was the founder and the CEO of the company, invest money, although I didn't have the background, and tell me, I believe in you, just do it. And I think it's working. Usually, you don't have to be, if you have enough, let's say, tailwind, you succeed in bringing deliveries.
So now, once you have also, you have products, various products that you sell, you also have R&D, which is supposed to come up with the future plans, with the things, the future products. So having said that you have a cutting edge technology, and you are well known in the industry, etc., what are you working at, and what do you think will come up technological wise when it comes to Kornit? Bentzion.
Yeah.
You're the one to cover R&D, isn't it?
Yes, I'm the one to cover R&D. So I think we have an amazing opportunity in front of us in terms of, you know, we have only 1% market share. And we have 100 times more business to capture. Now, it has to do with bringing innovation. Now, there's a few vectors of innovation that we are working on. One is to bring a better process. And of course, we work, and there's a critical part coming from the chemistry to enable new processes, and Kobe is responsible for the chemistry part and for innovation over there. And then how we print it on a garment, and how we do it at a high quality, how we guarantee the quality, how we make it in the cost. And that's another very important vector that we bring new products. Now we are bringing the Apollo. Apollo is a leap forward in all aspects of quality, productivity, etc. And another vector is how we enable workflow for the customers to bring in demand. So I would say these are the three vectors that we work in terms of new products. And it's for us to capture. Once we bring a good enough product, good enough enablement of business, we can grow like crazy.
So
it's all up to us.
I want to understand, because you're very much, I would say it's kind of a hybrid culture in Kornit, as far as I understand it, as an outsider. You guys are very creative. You think with each other. Everyone has the right to say what he thinks, etc. But take me to your brainstorm, to your blackboard, the way people throw ideas at you both as a CTO and both as an R&D. How do you manage all of these clever people? Everyone has his own idea. Everyone wants his own part to be, you know, how does it work, the daily the day-to-day routine of your work?
Yeah, so I think what makes Kornit unique is the passion of the people, and people are very committed to the business, to the company, and it also has to do with being innovative and bringing ideas. And ideas come from the challenges. So once you face people with the challenges, and then they come up with
how
ideas.
How can you challenge Kobe?
I challenge Kobe. Kobe, yeah, challenges himself.
I can't see how you can challenge a guy like Kobe, already 18 years in the company, someone that's, I mean, you need to challenge people that actually they have a lot of experience, they know stuff.
Yeah.
So how come challenges come up? You know, it's you to raise the challenge. It's something that comes from a customer. It's something that comes from an idea of someone.
I want to refer to that, if you don't mind. It's like, you have to understand that the questions are similar most of the time. The route you are picking in order to solve the problem in the most efficient way is the how. And this is why and how we are challenging people. Because at the end of the day, there is no simple truth or way to get into your point rather than different ways. So I see both, you know, we have different positions, Benzion and myself. I'm more on the research side, he's more on the development side, but we are a complementary solution. And at the end of the day, we are both should provide a solution for the company. Sometimes it's coming from a more deep perspective, technology, chemistry, and so on. But part of the work is coming from software, machinery, hardware,
very
the combination, and so on. And I think the uniqueness situation of being in a position that we are a multidisciplinary company allow us to roll different balls in order to gain the efficient way of getting things done.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, you get things, how do you get things done in the end of the day? Because once you have an idea of something and you create a technological process and you get all your peers behind the table, it takes something like a year to do a new product, to launch it. It takes a few months. It takes, how does it work?
So there are different levels of project.
Yep.
But on top of that, there are different ways to initiate a project.
Tell me.
So there are the things that Benzion mentioned. There is a pain point. So the customer side comes to product. Product identify the need, the business case, the potential of doing money out of that, the win-win situation with the customers and so on, and bring it down into the feasibility approach, saying, are you able to supply me with this and that solution? So this is one way. The other way is saying it's more of a red team ideas, incorporating, coming from the technology upwards, saying we have a technology that can accelerate a machine or an efficiency of specific process by this and that. Let's accelerate the market. And I think this is where the two sides actually incorporate it into a process called PLC, product life cycle, which have its own phases and gates. So everything that passed concept and feasibility, mainly on my end, is going into the development side. We are working hand in hand with Benzion. And everything that been receiving the declaration that we are on it after gate zero, we are going to produce it as a product roadmap with a solid plan and everything.
Okay.
On top of that, there are many initiation of new ideas because we are trying, not too much, but from time to time, to challenge ourselves within the roadmap. Because if in the middle of developing something, a product, a solution, or whatever, we discover that there is a potential to postpone within 3 months and exceed or surpass the bounding box or the KPIs, obviously we will understand the ROI for such a process, and we reinitiate it from the beginning. The different levels of the project are obviously coming from a pilot project and up to a huge solution like the Apollo, which create a value of 40% increase on the value that we are going to deliver to our customers.
Yeah, if I may add to it, I think innovation starts with the seed, with the concept, with something that is disruptive in a way that addresses the same challenges that we are facing basically all the time. You know, getting the black blacker, getting the cost lower. So the challenges are always there and more or less, but there's an idea how to do it. But we need to understand eventually we are producing our machines and ink are in a factory environment. They are a factory by themselves. They need to adhere to very high standards of quality, productivity, in order to be successful. And Kornit is successful because it was able to deliver an industry-grade solution. Now, from the innovation, there's a whole journey, a long journey. It can be a few years in order to materialize into something that is really at the quality standards. And there's lots of innovations along the way to make this happen. So the whole chain is innovative.
I've asked this question before to your colleagues, but I'm wondering about you as well. I assume that it's a natural tension between the way you forecast what will happen in the future. It's a very R&D thing to see what will come up and what do we need in order to be aligned with what will happen. And on the other side, I assume it's more your side. It's a more right here and now and provided. You know what I mean? So is there a tension?
Kind of the other way around, but okay.
It's the other way around. Okay. So is there a tension? How does the tensions between R&D and CTO looks like? Because you look like you're friends, but I assume that there are many difficulties as well sometimes.
On the contrary, I don't think. I really believe, and it's not about politics or being kind, that we are complementary solution. We are just setting different roles. I'm coming more of an holistic approach, saying what can be done in order to create an acceleration for the development process. Ben Sion is really responsible for product, really responsible for R&D. It's different philosophies. Now, from time to time, I back him up, and vice versa, because at the end of the day, the rationale is to bring the most efficient product to our customers. So in our phase, there are almost no tension, not at all. On the contrary, usually we are pretty aligned because we want the best. The tension is not in between us, it's more on the business and product side that says time to deliver versus the best product. Where is the compromise? The compromise lays down, and I think this is where there is more tension, actually.
Let's talk a bit about HR.
Yeah, if I may add to this. I think there's only one compass, you know, that drives everybody's the success of the company.
Yeah.
This is the only thing that we care for, both of us. And, you know, we iron up and we align and we make things happen.
I want to raise the question about HR. Even though you're not HR people, you are very much experienced and you know companies and you both know Kornit for many years. It's a debate going on in the high-tech industry nowadays about tech talents. About people that, you know, they've graduated from a computer science degree or they did the A200 at the army or whatever and they have some tech skills. What do you look for in a tech talent? And what do you think that Kornit could benefit to his career?
Yeah. So let me start from the second one. Okay. What we can offer. I think we can offer something, a very unique offering. We offer a company that is truly innovative. Means we innovate. Every day we innovate products, we innovate solutions. It's not a sustained type of organization. It's every time is new solutions, new products, new stuff. It's not like, okay, this is the product, now shave a little bit, 1% here, 1% there. We do big. We do big stuff. If we do something, it's 3 times, 10 times more. So we look for the disruptions and we are innovation driven. Our growth is driven by innovation. So it's a very good playground for tech talents. Because you have basically freedom to operate that is very wide. And add to it the passion of the people, passion of the team, the color, the industry, the textile, the fashion. So add to it the fun part of doing something unique. And add to it another part, which is scaling up. You know, we are growing. Yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah, constantly growing, 25% every year. And it's a scale up. It's you join and you are able to make a contribution, a direct contribution, noticeable contribution. It's something that you can, you know, take home and say, I did that. I think that's a very unique experience, and that's a very unique offering.
I will add to that one thing, which is funny. I'm a textile geek today. And after 18 years...
Textile geek is something that I've never heard.
Yeah, me as well. Just invented it. But you can't imagine. It's like we had a slogan back in the one of the presentation, whatever, vision become reality, right? Most of the industries, most of the companies out there, you are doing something and you should think how it's going to look like, how it's going to be incorporated into the day-to-day, how it will be transformed in industry, culture, business, whatever. In Kornit, you really see that.
You can touch.
You really feel it. And it's amazing because if you succeed, you are getting the gain immediately. So this is one thing. And the multidisciplinary approach is something philosophically I'm truly a fan and a believer in the fact that it's creating an acceleration for the intelligence, in a sense. And we have everything. We have business and go-to-market and product. And we have electronics, software, different levels of software, different classes. We have chemistries. We have facilities to operate. Engineering processes, and it's so versatile, and you are always see those people in the corridors, in meetings, and so on, and you always open your mind. And I think it's amazing, specific stages in your life, it's a privilege.
Well, it was great privilege to talk to you both. Thank you very much for this conversation. It was great.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thought Design Express Corning.